Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
For me, hallelujah. Let us pray, my friends. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful to you this morning. We thank you for your love that never fails. Your love is kind with us. Your love is patient with us. Your love never gives up on us. And we are grateful to you. This morning, we have deliberately decided to celebrate your love for us and the love we are supposed to have for one. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as we stay in your house and in your presence this morning, and as your word is coming forth, may your word draw us closer to you. May your word draw us closer to your purposes for us. May we receive instruction that will help us to serve you better and to walk love towards one another. I give you glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen. Hands together for Jesus. You may be seated. It's always a joy to see all of you, and I want to welcome you to church this morning. Good to see you all. And welcome also to those who have joined us online for our live streaming. Thank you very much for choosing to be a part of our service this morning. Now, this morning's edition of Times of Restoration has been dubbed, It All Comes Down to Love. All right? Tell the person sitting by you, it all comes down to love. Tell another person, it all comes down to love. Hallelujah. Now, I took the decision that the first Sunday after Valentine's Day should be a day to recognize and to celebrate love. Hallelujah. So if it happens to fall on Valentine's Day, that's fine. That is to say that if Valentine falls on Sunday, Reverend Agbagba, I'm struggling. Can't hear myself too well. So back to my Yere Dada. Yere Dada. Okay, it works. All right. So where were we? Yes. So I was saying that if it falls on Sunday, then that's fine. But I'm sure that you know by now that really there are three basic types of love. And we can glean them from the Greek language, actually. The English language is limited. All right? So you may see love being used all over the place. But actually, love, when it is used, may be referring to a particular type of love. So, for example, in the Greek, we can talk about agape or agapao, which is the God kind of love, which is the love that says, I love you in spite of. That type of love is selfless. And that is what the Bible talks about in John 3:16, Romans 5:8. Where it says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when you see the love of God, it is describing agape. Somebody say agape. Then there's another Greek word that is translated love in the Bible. That is philia. So you will see in Hebrews 13 verse 1 where it says, let brotherly love continue. If you check from the original Greek text, The word that is used there is filio. And filio is the type of love that you find among siblings and among very good friends. All right? And then there is another Greek word, eros, which you will not find directly being used in the Bible, but it exists. So eros, as it suggests, refers to erotic love or romantic love. And that is the love that you'll find between a man and a woman. Hopefully they are on their way to getting married, or they are married. Is that okay? Am I creating problems? All right. So all these three different expressions of love are important. All right. They are all very, very important. And really, God is the architect of all of them. So this morning, we are going to talk about love. But what we are going to dwell primarily on is the love of God, agape. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading from verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading from verse 1. The Bible says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Give me the cymbals, please. Keep hitting it. It's okay. Today, I actually had to beg him to go up the cymbals a bit, because cymbals at a point begin to disturb and irritate the ears. And from what the Bible is saying, if you can speak with all the languages of earth and of angels, but you don't love others, you are as noisy and as disturbing as a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Somebody say with me, love will last forever. Say it again, love will last forever. It continues. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. So that is something you have to understand about prophecy. You must understand that it is not possible for a prophet to see all the time and to hear all the time. And we must not put pressure on our prophets and keep approaching them for a prophetic word. The guy just finished eating a big bowl of fufu with palm nut soup and snails. And you approach him at a time like that, and you are asking for a prophetic dilation. Any dilation that he gives to you at such a time will be emanating from snails. So don't put pressure on people. Amen. Pastor James, have they been putting pressure on you sometimes? They always want you to give them a prophecy. A word. Prophet, give me a word. It's some crab in here. It continues. When they ask you to give them a word, tell them that Jesus loves you. Then tell them that do your best for the Lord. That's a prophetic word. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Will you please read verse 13 with me? Is it 13 or 14? What's the last verse? All right, 13. Can we read it together? Ready? Go. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. A couple of months ago, I had a conversation with a friend of mine. He's actually a part of this commission. And I don't really remember how we entered into this line of conversation. But then I mentioned to him that I had bumped into certain people that I used to pastor some years ago, people that I loved very much. However, they repaid my love with a lot of evil. I don't need to go into details, but I told my friend how these same people, when they saw me, because I hadn't seen them in many years, they were all over me, talking plenty. And one of them in particular went on and on and on. And at a point, he started apologizing for certain things. It was too much at a point. So I told him that it's okay. I have moved on. And I don't bear anybody any grudge. So, you know, some of the others, this was at a program. He came around, talked to me. Some hugged me. He took a picture with me. And I warned them that this picture that you are taking with me, I hope that you don't get into trouble for it, you know. But then I made a comment to my friend after telling him about this encounter, that how I wish that I'd been able to say a few things to some of these guys that I met and really tell them what I feel about them. Then after I have finished, how I wish I could have snubbed them and walked away after telling them a thing or two. When I said that to my friend, he started laughing. And he said, "You can't do it." I said, "Ah, why can't I do it?" He said to me that it is not in you. And then he said something that struck me. He said to me that you can't do it because your heart is full of love. That's what he said to me. And I said, "What are you saying?" He said, "Yes, your heart is full of love." I hope it's true. I want to hear it from God, not from you. I pray it is true. But you see, when he said that to me, I was flattered. And I felt that it is the greatest compliment that anybody can give to me. Why did I feel that way? Because I've been around for some time. And I have come to see that of all the attributes and the traits that a person can have, in the sight of God, love is the greatest. You didn't hear me. So I'm going to say it again. That of all the qualities, of all the attributes, of all the traits that a person can have in this life and in this world, in the sight of God, the greatest of them all is love. And this morning, I want to share a sermon with you that I have titled, Love is the Greatest. Everybody say with me, love is the greatest. Say it again, love is the greatest. And I'm going to attempt to show you from the Word of God why love is the greatest. It is my prayer that through this teaching, our love walk will become better. And we will learn to flow more in love towards God and towards one another. Can somebody say an amen to that? So why is love the greatest? The first reason, because the Bible says so very clearly. Because the Bible says so very clearly that love is the greatest. And I made you read that with me. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. It is clearly spelled out in there. So if you ask, why is love the greatest? It is because the Bible says so very clearly. Is that easy to understand? Second reason why love is the greatest. Because God himself is love. And love comes from him. That is why love is the greatest. Because God himself is love. And love comes from God. Now, if God himself, who is the greatest, is also love, then it is reasonable to conclude that love must be the greatest. Do the mathematic permutation for me. God is the greatest. How many believe that God is great and that God is the greatest? And God is love. God is love. So if God is the greatest and God is love, it means that love is the greatest. Is it easy to understand? Well, some of you are struggling with the math, you see. When I said the math, no, some people tuned off. But this is simple math, all right? So love is the greatest because God himself is love and love comes from him. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 to 8. 1 John 4, 7 to 8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. What is the next statement you see there? For love comes from who? From God. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Now, I need you to reflect on this. Think about the words. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. What is the opposite of this? If you don't love, you are not a child of God and you don't know God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the second reason why love is the greatest, because God himself is love. And love comes from him. God's very nature and essence is love. And love mirrors God. So when you see love in its purest expression, you are seeing God at work. So love is the greatest. Because God himself is love. And love comes from him. Hallelujah. Why is love the greatest? Number three. Because love is the cardinal sign that we are the children of God. That we know God. And that he lives in us. Love is the cardinal sign that we are the children of God. That we know God and that he lives in us. That is the third reason why love is the greatest. Because love is the cardinal sign that we are the children of God, that we know God, and that he lives in us. Let's look again at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows him. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love is the greatest because it is the cardinal sign that we are the children of God, that we know God, and that he lives in us. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 as well. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So love is the greatest, because that is the cardinal sign. The cardinal sign that you are a child of God is not that you pray in God, it's not that you go to church every Sunday. The cardinal sign that you are a child of God is not that you are in a department in your church. The cardinal sign that you are the child of God is not that you give offerings and you pay tithes. The cardinal sign that you are a child of God is that you walk in love, that you operate in love, and it shows that you know God and that God lives in you. That is the sign. Unfortunately, we have turned this whole Christian experience into something else. But the Bible makes it categorically clear that if you are a child of God, you will love. You will love God. You will love your neighbor. You will love others. That is the sign. That is the sign that we are the children of God and that we really know God. So that proves, ladies and gentlemen, that love indeed is the greatest. Amen. Number four. The fourth reason why love is the greatest is because it is the most important commandment. Because it is the most important commandment. That is why love is the greatest. It's one of the reasons why. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 to 40. Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love. What is the question the gentleman asked? Ella, what did the gentleman ask? What is the most, that's it right there. What is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? That's a question that he asked. Now let's look at the answers that Jesus gave. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, who is saying this? Was Jesus ever known to tell a lie? So if Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, it must be the truth. Then it continues. Next verse. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So now this gentleman asked for the greatest commandment. But Jesus revealed that there are actually two, but they all hinge on love. The first one is vertical. Love towards God must be with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. Then he draws attention to a second commandment, which is also very great. And that one is love, which is in a horizontal direction. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Then the next thing that he says is that the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And each of these commandments is about love. Ladies and gentlemen, love is the greatest. You see that there's reference there to the entire law and all the demands of the prophets. Earlier on, the question that the gentleman asked was about the law of Moses. Anytime you see that term, the law, it is referring to the set of laws and instructions that were given to the people of Israel through his servant Moses. All these laws are captured in the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth books of Moses in the Bible. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy. And some believe that he also wrote another book, the book of Job. And there are some of the Psalms in the Bible that were written by Moses. But in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but particularly in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, you have all the different laws that were given to Moses for God's people under the old covenant. That is what is referred to as the law of Moses. Now, when you put all the laws together, there were 613 of them. And God's demand on his people was that they were expected to obey all. Such that if you fail to carry out even one of them, you are guilty of failing all. Somebody say impossible. Yeah. It's impossible. And if the law was going to be the basis for God to vindicate anybody, then there was nobody who could be vindicated. So that is the entire law that is being referred to here. And then it also talks about the demands of the prophets. You must understand that before the church came into existence, or before Christ died and resurrected and initiated the church, they had their own word of God, or Bible, if you like. And their Bible was made up of the law, the books that were written by Moses, and then the books written by the major prophets. That is what was their Bible. So when they went to church and were reading the word of God, that is what they picked up and read. All right. So this gentleman who asked the question was actually saying to God that the laws are a lot. Is there not any particular one that we can major in? So that once we get it right, it means that we will be okay. It's like you're going to write an exam and you are told that question one is compulsory and carries 80 marks. And then you are supposed to answer. I haven't seen a paper like that before. Wicked lecturers. And then you are supposed to answer four other questions. Each one carries five. Now, if you answer all the four other questions apart from question one, and you even get all correct, you have only... So the only way you can pass the exam is to make sure that question one, you have to do it well. Otherwise, you fail the exam. That question one is love. That is what Jesus was explaining. And was explaining to them that everything that God is expecting of his people including those of us who are operating under a new covenant, all that is expecting of us is that we will love him and we will love one another. Why? Because love is the greatest. You see, God is like a kind lecturer who wants his students to pass the exam. But I've told you before that there are different types of lecturers. There are wicked ones who intentionally set very complex, difficult questions. Only the most brilliant in class, like Pastor Elvis, can pass that exam. But the average student will struggle to pass it. And there are some lecturers who delight in setting difficult. So when the people fail, as they are sitting there, when they come to the class, you can actually hear them gloating over it. They failed. They come laughing. Ha ha ha. You didn't see Tope. Ha ha ha. You didn't see Tope. But there's another type of lecturer. He knows that if my students fail, it is a reflection of me, that I'm a lousy lecturer. So a good lecturer will try and teach as best as he can to ensure that if not all, most of the people shall pass the exam. And there are some of them who recognize that. I mean, if you take a typical Ghanaian curriculum, too much. There's a lot. And many of the things in there are useless. Most of the things are useless. Maka, maka. And I believe that there is a need for a serious revision. And I think that different governments have tried to do something about it. But I feel that there is yet more to be done. Because we live in a different world. And what was relevant under our colonial masters is not relevant in the world that we live in. How can a little child who is in class 2, class 3, he's doing 10 or 9 subjects? Why? Say again. Plenty homework. The joy of childhood. You're upon school. We've come home. Let's go and play football. Let's go and play ampe. They can't. But then by the time they get home, 7 p.m., then homework, a lot of homework, a lot of homework, a lot of homework. I'm saying it again, the curriculum has to be revised. A good lecturer recognizes that there's too much. And sometimes what they will try and do is to give you a hint or two to let you know where to focus on. Of course, he recognizes that you must be accountable. But he also realizes that a little help will do. So he'll give you a hint. And if you follow that hint, you are likely to do well in that exam. Did you ever meet a lecturer like that when you were in school? Yeah. Now, God is like that. He doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want to banish anybody to hell. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And that is why he sent Jesus. And not only has he sent Jesus to pay the price, he has shown us crystal clear what we need to focus and concentrate on, so that when we stand before him, he will pass us and give us good marks. What is that? Love. And it's not what we think. It is not what we think. It is not about having huge churches with a lot of members, which is a good thing. Because I believe that if the Great Commission is actually being carried out, one of the signs of it, byproducts of it, would be that our churches should become bigger and larger. So it's not a bad thing. But that's not the main thing. Having big, huge church auditoriums is good for a church to have a church building. It's very good. And it must be built. But that's not the main thing. That, ladies and gentlemen, is not the main thing. The main thing is love, according to God. So love is the greatest because it is the greatest and the most important commandment. Hallelujah. Are you getting to understand why love is the greatest? We're ending number 5. Love is the greatest because it is the greatest way to represent Christ. Love is the greatest because it is the greatest way to represent Christ. If we want to really show Christ and be effective witnesses of Him and demonstrate that we are His disciples indeed, then we have to walk in love. Because love is the greatest way to represent Christ, and therefore love is the greatest. John 13 verse 33 to 35. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Everybody say, let's love one another. Then he goes on and says, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Tell the person sitting by you, love me. Why? Then what does he say? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What will prove to the world that we are the disciples of Christ? Love. That's what will prove. Not all the things that we try to do. Not all the joy in prayer that we put up. To have large this, large that, so many this, so many that. That's not it. The sign and the proof to the world that we are the disciples of Christ is love. John 15, 12 to 13. John 15, 12 to 13. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. So Jesus is saying, the way I have loved you, that's the way you should love one another. It is my commandment. It is my instruction. It is my directive to you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That is how Jesus loved us. He laid down his love for us. So the kind of love that Jesus is expecting us to operate in towards one another is love that is selfless and love that is sacrificial. And ladies and gentlemen, that kind of love, selfless love, sacrificial love, is what will convince people that we are really representatives of Christ in this world. I dare say that one of the main reasons why we are not being effective witnesses for Christ Jesus is because we are not demonstrating the love enough where we find ourselves. And when people come into contact with us, they cannot feel the love. They can't. Love for God, love for one another, and love for even the sinner, the bad person around in the community at the workplace. They can't feel the love. Because ladies and gentlemen, love, it's like a magnet. It draws. It attracts. And people seem to consciously or unconsciously gravitate towards the place where there is a show of love. If this church is going to be effective in reaching the lost and everything, there must be a lot of love here. When people walk in, they mustn't feel air conditioned. They must feel love. When they walk in here, they must feel that there is something. There's a certain aura around these people. It's an aura of love. And love, it can be seen. It can be felt. That's why a wife can tell the husband that since you told me that you love me on the day that you proposed to me and on the day that we exchanged the vow, since that day, you have not said it again. And the response from the husband is that, but I haven't changed my mind. If I've changed my mind, I'll tell you. The love that I told you I love you, it still holds. So don't worry yourself at all. But you see, the reason why the lady or the wife may be saying what she's saying is because she can't feel it. She can't do what? She can't feel it. She cannot feel the love. And sometimes there's a reason why she can't feel the love. Sometimes there's a reason why. But the fact still stands that love can be felt. It is real. It's not an imaginary thing. It is real. And when somebody loves you, you can see it. When somebody loves you, you can feel it. And the reason why we are not effective witnesses for Christ is because the people out there, they can't feel it. Shame on us. How we attack one another openly, blatantly. Go to the social media and sometimes look at the nonsense that goes on there. Pastors fighting one another, attacking one another, trying to outdo one another. Why? What is wrong with us? And we don't have sense enough to see that thing, as we continue doing it, we repel people from Christ. We push the people away from God. We can't see it. We cannot overlook a wrong. Yes, it is true. Somebody has done something to hurt you and all. You cannot overlook it. And then we put it out in the public domain. And we don't realize that the unbelievers and those who don't know Christ, they are laughing at us. They said, look at them. Look at them. And they want me to be a part of this. It is ugly. I don't want to be a part of it. So guys, we really have to be very careful, eh? Because I feel that we may stand before God and you'll be so bored with us that because of us, people have been turned away from the Lord. Because in your community, at your workplace, there is nothing that smells of God and love on you. You are the most quarrelsome. You are the laziest. You are the one always orchestrating the alutes at the workplace. Then when you finish, you come and say, I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. I gave my life to him about 10 years ago and he has changed my life. And the way he has changed my life, he wants to change your life. The response will be, cheer. Then somebody will shout, who said Kia? Because it sounds like a joke. It sounds like a joke. Oh, I'm telling you something. Oh, it is one of the main reasons why we are not effective witnesses for Christ. Because we don't walk in love. So love is the greatest. There's a beautiful song he's playing. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love in our eyes. And may this love sweep this nation. Cause us, oh God, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love. Number 6. Why is love the greatest? Because love never fails and is eternal. Love is the greatest because it never fails. Other things will fail, but love never fails and is eternal. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8. New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8. Love never fails. Everybody say, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But love never fails. It never fails. Look, if you see a couple who have been together for a very long time, it is very likely that when you get into things, you will discover that the reason why they've endured and survived all these years is because of love. And the love that never fails. Especially the God kind of love that says, I love you in spite of. You do me things, but I love you. You've hurt me so many times, but I'm not changing my mind about you. That is what is missing in a lot of the newer marriages that we have around. After 1 year, 2 years, hey, me dear, my bro. Then they'll add nonsense. Have you heard me say before that if you cannot accommodate nonsense, do not marry? That's all. If you can't accommodate it, don't marry, because you will get it. You will get it. A lot of it. Oh, you will get it. You can ask my wife. The amount of nonsense that she's had to endure from me. Say again. It's vice versa. That's what I was coming to. Me too. I've had to endure a lot of nonsense. It's called you do me. I do you. And we are in the thing. We haven't gone anywhere. Because there's still love. And let me say to those of you who are now getting married. Oh. Bechele Samson says I should talk to him. I mentioned three basic types of love. Agape, philia, and eros. You need all three for the marriage to work. But the one that is able to stand the test of time is the agape. Yeah. Because the eros, the erotic, the romantic, the sensual, the sexual, a lot of the times, ethical. In fact, the two that are most critical, I think, all are important, but the two, the agape and the filio. Because the filio has to do with the friendship. Look, if the person you are married to is not your friend, my response to you is Baba No. Is it correct? Baba No means sorry. Should I say it again? I said, if the person you are married to is not your friend, I mean, when somebody is your friend, you are comfortable with the person, you flow with the person, you quarrel with the person, you make up and then you continue. But the person is not your friend, you won't survive. That's why it's so strange when you hear people say, I cannot marry my friend. He's too much of my friend. You don't know what you are talking about. That's what you need. That one, the filio and the agape. Those ones especially. That's what allows you to endure through the years. So when we say love never fails, that is what is needed. And love is the greatest because it never fails. This same verse we looked at, the New Living Translation. It says, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. We made so much fuss about tongues, spiritual gifts, anointing, the oil, the unction, the altar, and all these kind of expressions that we like to throw about. The Bible is saying these things, at a point they'll become useless. Then it goes on to say, but love will last forever. That means it is eternal. It is eternal. Look at Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7 from the New Living Translation. It says, many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. If a man tries to buy love with all his wealth, his offer will be utterly scorned or discarded. But the first part is what you're looking at. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. That's what I'm explaining to you. That when you see people who've been together for a long time, friendship has been there for years, relationship has been there for years, the most likely reason why it is that way is because there's some love at work there somewhere. Especially the kind of love that says, I love you in spite of. It is there. And the Bible is saying it clearly. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the rivers drown it. And I like the last part, what it's saying, that if a man tries to buy love with all his wealth, his offer will be utterly sold. Look, you may see a young lady who is in love with a gentleman, and the love is very real and deep and intense. You can bring all the money in the world, you can't get her to disconnect or to break her relationship. Yeah, you can bring. Meanwhile, she needs the money. She really, really needs the money. I think that most of us will fail this test. Am I saying something?
Yes.
But it doesn't include you. Hallelujah. The last one for today. Why is love the greatest? Because it is the most powerful force which binds people together in perfect unity. Because it is the most powerful force which binds people together in perfect unity. Colossians 3:12-14. That's our last scripture for the day. Colossians 3:12-14. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Make allowance for each other's faults. Because I'm not perfect, neither are you perfect. And the Bible is saying, make an allowance for me, and I should also make an allowance for you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Then the next thing it says is, above all what? All the things he mentioned earlier. Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, making allowance for each other's faults, forgiving one another. He says, above all these things, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Love, it is the most powerful force which is able to bind people together. It is the only thing that can break down barriers, unite different groups, and foster peace and reconciliation. Love is the only thing that can create harmony, build relationships, and lead to spiritual and social healing. Love. That's the only thing that can do that. Look, the conflicts in Boku and the conflicts in the OT region, and as a matter of fact, the conflicts anywhere in the world, the only thing that can deal with those conflicts permanently is love. Look, if you look at the conflicts like in Boku and these other places, at the point it doesn't make sense. You see, the tribes that are fighting one another, if you put one person from this tribe here and you put the other person from the other tribe here and you look at their faces, there's no difference. They are the same people. They are the same people. Yet for years, they've allowed little trivial things to divide them and to separate them. But if they were to decide and tell each other, Ali, I need you. You need me. We don't need to kill each other. We don't need to hurt each other. We can live in this place in peace and harmony. We don't need to fight. If they can only take that step, the conflict will be over. Love is the only thing that can solve the conflicts in these parts of the world. So if they are there and the devil is trying to stir up things again, they will sing this song that I posted. Devil, the number you are calling is not available. The number you are calling is not devil, the number you are calling is not available. The number you are calling is not available. The number you are, the number you are calling is not available. The number you are, the number you are calling is not available. That's all. When you realize that the devil is trying to start another, you just tell him that, devil, this thing we've seen some before. We can see how it can turn a whole society upside down. I'm not available to fight these useless fights. And in relating with one another, that's the point we have to get to. Because sometimes people will provoke you. People will annoy you. People will irritate you. When you see those things, tell yourself that the devil is calling me. He's ringing my number. I won't take this call. I'm not available. I won't take this call. So that we can dwell in love towards one another. Hallelujah. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, love is the greatest. Rise to your feet and let us close. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I have good news for you. If you're here today and don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, maybe you're watching us and the same applies to you. You don't have a certain kind of relationship with Jesus. You cannot say that he's the Lord of your life. But the good news I have for you is that he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. He loves you so much that he agreed to come into this world over 2,000 years ago. To pay the price for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God and we can enjoy the peace that God intends for us. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. As every head is bowed, wherever you are, whether physically present here or you're watching me online, wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know deep inside you that, Charlie, I don't have any relationship with him. I cannot say that I'm a Christian. Yes, I've been going to church for some time, but I've never really taken a decision to commit my life to him. But today I'm taking that step. Pastor, pray with me. Yes, I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. You may be watching me right now. I can't see you where you are, but Jesus can see you and he's waiting for you to accept his invitation. Lift up your hand right where you are. God bless you. And I want us all to say this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you for loving me. I will love you in return. Please write my name in the book of life. Today, the 16th of February, 2025, I am saved. I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, amen. Put your hands together.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.